It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of a numbers game right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 204, Visa.com, the Visa app, Fubo's, League of Game Plus. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. You instantly get a list of quality candidates from Indeed's resume database the moment you sponsor a job. Get started at Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. It's Gil Alexander. Normally, again, for those who missed it earlier, we do guessing lines on a Monday morning during football season, but Chrissy is not feeling well this morning. Chrissy tested positive for the coronavirus late last week and is resting well in his bedroom at home. So we gave him the morning off because we don't want to be here for 2 hours having to give lines, and he gets exhausted quickly. So we'll resume it next week. How about that? We're going through every game, though, in the NFL, talking about games yesterday with Jason Kahn. We're not guessing the lines. We're just going through them. What's next, Jason?
All right. We have the Browns -3, -120 over the Raiders.
Browns -3, -120 over the Raiders. Okay. We talked about the Raiders briefly. Raiders lose to the Buccaneers. Derek Carr, 24 of 36 for 284, two touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked three times. Aguilar, his best target or his biggest target, 5 for 107 and a touchdown. Cleveland, 5-2 now. We talked about that crazy ending against Cincinnati. At least I sped through it. Best start since 1994 under Bill Belichick. Mayfield, 22 of 28 yesterday for 297, five touchdowns, a pick. He was sacked zero times. Second half yesterday, Baker Mayfield, 17 of 18 for 248, four touchdowns. Rashard Higgins was his biggest target, 6 for 110. Harrison Bryant, 4 for 56 and two touchdowns. Odell Beckham, as we reported this morning, done for the year with a torn ACL. Tried to make a tackle yesterday, got hurt. Never came back, done for the year. Odell self-reporting that. Reporting that himself, I should say. I do think Baker Mayfield is more unburdened without Odell on the field. I really do. Cleveland gets in at 5-2. And again, let's just repeat how that game ended yesterday. Five fourth quarter touchdowns. The first game in NFL history with five go-ahead touchdown passes in the fourth quarter. Browns go up with 13:06. Bengals with another touchdown at 8:38. Browns with another at 4:53 to go up. Bengals go up with 1:06 left, 34-31. And the Browns get it done with 4 seconds left on the clock, 37-34. Mayfield, Donovan, Peoples-Jones, 24-yarder. Five play, 75-yard drive. Took 1:02. What's the line here?
Browns -3, -120.
Only thing it can be. Wouldn't expect it to be anything else. What's next?
All right. We've got the Chiefs -19.5 over the Jets.
All right. Now, I said on primetime action, this is the one game where I knew it was coming up, and I peaked last week because I'm like, I got to figure it. This got to be three touchdowns, right? It's got to be -21.
I saw three touchdowns earlier, so I think this number's come back a little.
So we're actually getting Jets money here. Three touchdowns is the point of resistance.
There was Jets money on last week's game, and it all won.
Well, the Jets did win. The Jets covered, right?
But it moved like 2 or 3 points. It moved from 12 to, I think it was 9 by the time kickoff.
But then again, you look at a game like that yesterday. The Bills win by 8. They don't cover. They do cover teaser legs, but they don't cover the point spread.
Yes.
Yeah, thank goodness. But do you look at that game, and I called it, for those of us who had the Bills and Survivor, the least sweat-filled one-score Survivor win of all time. Because the Jets couldn't do anything after the first quarter and change. And so do you look at that as, well, the Bills could have crushed them, right? Because the Bills ended up with 6 field goals, I think, on 8 attempts. Couldn't get the ball in the end zone to save their lives. They did twice, but one was a flag. I think 2 were flags.
Bills were on a short week, too.
Bills were on a short week. So it's one of those where you're like, should the Bills have covered that, or do the Jets deserve credit for stopping? I mean, both are true, right? I don't know how you read it in the end.
I don't think the Jets should ever cover anything.
That might be right. Sam Darnold was 12 of 23 for 120, no touchdowns, two picks. He was sacked 6 times. The Jets only had 190 total yards. As I said, only 4 in the second half. And there's Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes and the big win over Denver, and I do mean big on the scoreboard anyway. 43-14 was the final yesterday in the snow in Denver. Patrick Mahomes, 15 of 23 for 200, one touchdown, no picks. He was sacked three times. Tyreek, 6 for 55 and a touchdown. The Chiefs were 0 for 8 on third downs. By the way, it's Gil Alexander right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, and Game Plus. They were 0 for 8 on third downs. They were outgained by the Broncos 411 to 286. They only ran, the Chiefs that is, 51 offensive plays to the Broncos 76, but they were plus 3 in turnovers. And let's face it, a pick six, a kickoff return for a touchdown, and two of those Broncos turnovers leading immediately to touchdowns, or leading directly to touchdowns. There's your ball game. So the Chiefs barely broke a sweat on offense. Final score 43 to 14. Now, as for Survivor, is everybody going to take the Chiefs this week, or are they going to still save the Chiefs?
Interesting strategy. I don't know. I have to see what the rest of the field looks like, but it's tough. I don't know. Maybe it's almost too easy to take the Chiefs this week.
It might be. 350 left in Survivor, pending 7 on the Rams tonight. I don't know, man. You just take the bonus square. You just take the free bingo square, I should say.
Let's see at the end of all these where we're thinking. But so far, it's a slam dunk.
I'm saying if Circa didn't have that Thanksgiving rule, the 3-game Survivor week, they'd have. It's not going to cost Circa any more money because they'll just split what it would be. But you could have just tons of people getting through because of the team like the Jets being out there. But because of that Survivor week, it's going to absolutely destroy people. Because I'll be honest, and I'm still alive, I can map out everything through week 11 and then everything after that necessarily, although week 17 is squirrely. But let's face it, Thanksgiving is a prayer. Because the 3 games are Washington-Dallas, Houston-Detroit, and Baltimore-Pittsburgh. Good luck to all of us.
It's ugly slate.
I'm surprised that there's even even some Jets money at 21. But I guess I shouldn't be surprised. 21 is 21. The Chiefs will take the foot off the gas, and so, yeah.
And they just covered.
Yeah.
The Jets, first time they covered all season.
Well, as I said, should they have? What's the next?
We've got the Seahawks minus 3 over the 49ers.
So good game.
Yeah.
And by the way, I would have guessed 21. Seahawks minus 3 over the 49ers is the only, it's at Seattle. It's the only line this could be.
Correct.
San Francisco, as we talked about, crushed the Patriots. Jimmy G, 20 of 25 against his former team, 277. Good for him. No touchdowns, 2 picks. He was sacked once. Jeff Wilson Jr. in Raheem Mostert's absence, 17 carries for 112 and 3 touchdowns, and then he got hurt. Bad injury. Jeff Wilson Jr. going to be out for a while.
I hardly knew him.
Had 5 career touchdowns before his 3 yesterday. Brandon Ayuk, 6 for 115. Loved him in college at ASU. And then there's Seattle last night. Seattle loses for the first time this year. Chrissy told me yesterday that if they were having a bad day, because everyone was crushing on teasers, I know I was, but everybody was killing on teasers. But if Seattle, he had to root against Russell Wilson, which, as he says all the time, is a hell of a place to be. Hates being in that position. But that's, in fact, where he was. Their week could have been horrific if Seattle covered. In fact, Cardinals win it outright. Russell Wilson in defeat, 33 of 50 for 388, 3 touchdowns, 3 picks. He was sacked twice, 6 carries for 84 yards as well on the ground. But those 3 picks, Jason, can I say this? Because it's a morning of superlatives. Might have been 3 of the worst passes of his career. Did serious damage to his MVP?
Definitely.
Candidacy, I think.
Changed the narrative on it for sure.
Yeah, and I love Russell Wilson more than anybody. Not I love him more than anybody, but I love Russell Wilson more than I love anybody. But Tyler Lockett, 15 for 200, 3 touchdowns yesterday. 20 targets for Tyler Lockett. They outgained Arizona, did the Seahawks yesterday in yards, 572 to 519. Overtime game where Arizona somehow wins it 37 to 34 after Zane Gonzalez missed a 41 yarder earlier in overtime and then sinks the game winner at the end. But this is another game. Like if you had the Cardinals, I had the Cardinals plus 3.5 in the contest. if there's not that late penalty, Cardinals are down 10 late in the fourth. There's an unsportsmanlike on Seattle. Cardinals were about to leave the field down 7, and it looked like Seahawks bettors were going to rule the day. But there's the unsportsmanlike. Then the Cardinals matriculated into the end zone. So the Cardinals are only down 3, and you're like, oh, the Cardinals are going to win if you're a Cardinals bettor. Then it goes to overtime. You're like, oh, no, if you're a Cardinals bettor, we might lose now. And in fact, Seattle had the ball after the missed field goal, and you're like, oh, this could go. And then they have the pass into the end zone, and you're like, I can't believe we're losing this to the Cardinals. But then there was a penalty that called it back. It's all Palenko, dude. Again, not all. I'm exaggerating. But so many of these games, like, if you think it's you in the end, really, Cardinals bettors were right and Seahawks bettors weren't? Nah, man. And I'll say that for the Atlanta-Detroit game. Could have gone either way. What else?
Giants, Eagles, Giants.
Eagles, Giants, for sure. I had the Eagles. Did I deserve to lose that? Was I wrong?
Bengals, Browns.
Bengals, Browns, for sure. We just talked about Plinko five ways in the fourth quarter. Buffalo and the Jets. Buffalo only won by 8, but seriously? I mean, so many of these games. So many of them. But then there's plenty that weren't. So, I mean, they're out there. Carolina, New Orleans being another one that could have gone either way. But no, you're right. There's plenty that out there that the extent to which you can find the games that aren't Plinko, the better off you'll be. But you got to be real good to find them week to week. What's next?
All right.
And that should be 3 points, by the way, Seattle and San Francisco.
Yeah. Here's another 3-point line. Chargers on the road, -3, even money to the Broncos, who are +3, -120. At
Chargers are a 3-point road favorite?
Favorite, yeah. Don't like that.
To me, that's a complete coin flip game. And if you're giving me the full 3, I'll take Denver.
It looks like it's available at the moment.
Yeah. Justin Herbert yesterday in the come-from-behind win against Jacksonville. Come-from-ahead, come-from-behind win against Jacksonville. Herbert, 27 of 43 for 347. 3 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once. 9 carries for 66 yards and a touchdown for Justin Herbert as well. What a player he has been. What a pick. Keenan Allen, 10 catches for 125. 484 total yards of offense for the Chargers. And again, that come from ahead. They were up 16-0, then trailed by 7, only to have a big turnover late in the third quarter that flipped that game. So Chargers survivor pickers got away with that one, too. I don't know what got away with it, but it looked hairy for a minute. And then there's Denver, as we talked about. They got crushed by Kansas City, largely because they gave up a kickoff return for a touchdown, largely because they were the victim of a pick 6. Drew Lock, 24 of 40 for 265, 0 touchdowns, 2 picks. He was sacked 3 times. But when the Chiefs were up 7-0, and the Chiefs then turned the ball over, short field, Denver scored. Remember, Lock ran it into the end zone. And then Lock does a dance. And at that point, I said out loud, I'm like, boy, Drew Lock, I said this all last year. Nobody loves Drew Lock more than Drew Lock. Maybe pipe it down a little bit. Not only do they miss the extra point, but they get crushed.
They sure ran the ball on the Chiefs, though. It looked to me like the Chiefs can definitely be run on.
If you're giving me 3 points, I'll take Denver in that game. That's the first line I really like. Because Anthony Lynn will figure out a way to give that to the Broncos. What's next?
All right. The Baltimore Ravens, -5.5 over the Pittsburgh Steelers.
No man's land line. 5.5?
Too many points.
5.5?
I'm looking right at it.
I would have guessed 3.5. Maybe. Pittsburgh, as we talked about, beat Tennessee yesterday. Strange decisions by Big Ben. Again, I'll say it again. At the end of the first half and at the end of the, on their last drive. For sure. But Pittsburgh dominated this football game early, and then they used that to win this against Tennessee. Pittsburgh is the only undefeated team in all football. The Jets are the only winless team. Pittsburgh is the only undefeated team. Big Ben, 32 of 49 yesterday for 268, 2 touchdowns, 3 picks. He was sacked 0 times. Juju, 9 of 85. Deontay, 9 for 80 and 2 touchdowns. The Steelers against the Titans were 13 of 18 on third downs. And Baltimore will be on extra rest here. So Baltimore should absolutely be favored. And I do believe it should be favored by a little more than 3, but 5.5? Broncos and Steelers, I think, are the two I like the best so far. Only took a little more than an hour, but we got to a couple. And this, of course, the first of the two matchups between the Ravens and the Steelers, the other one on Thanksgiving. What's next? Are we in the afternoon, by the way?
Yeah, we kind of bounced around a little bit here. The Seahawks game is in the afternoon. The Chargers game is in the afternoon. But the Ravens-Steelers is in the morning.
Okay. All right.
I think a couple of lines might not be up here. According to BetMGM, we're on the Monday night game, so I'm going to need to figure out what games are not on the board. But it's the Bucks.
Well, give me the rest of the day games.
That's it. We've hit them all.
That can't possibly.
That are on the board. We've hit them all. We've hit all the ones that BetMGM has on the board currently: Colts, Lions, Vikings, Packers, Bills, Patriots, Bengals, Titans, Raiders, Browns,
New Orleans, Chicago. We haven't hit. New Orleans at Chicago.
Not on here.
Not well, because Chicago hasn't played. They played tonight, but yeah. just to go through them all thoroughly. New Orleans, Breeze yesterday against the Panthers, 29 of 36 for 287, two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once. Alvin Kamara, 14 for 83 on the ground, 8 for 65 through the air. Marquez Callaway, in the absence of Michael Thomas, was the number one wideout in terms of receiving, 8 for 75. The Saints against the Panthers yesterday were 12 of 14. On third downs, 12 of 14 on third downs. And again, it gets back to that one play that'll sort of get washed away, which is Teddy Bridgewater taking that sack, you know, in that ball game yesterday, where it was, I want to get the exact down and distance correct, but that game was very much in play. It was 27 to 24, which was eventually the final score, was very much in the air. Third and 11 at the New Orleans 39, down 27 to 24, the eventual final. The play before the two-minute warning, Bridgewater takes an 8-yard sack. Remember the 8 yards, because then Joey Sly attempts a 65-yarder, which would be an NFL record if he makes it, to tie the game. Who knows what would happen afterwards. But it goes 63 right down the middle. One first down later, game's over. New Orleans 27, Panthers 24. Is there a team in the NFC that you think is great? I think Tampa Bay is the most balanced team in the NFC.
They're the best team, Tampa Bay.
Green Bay will have something to say about that, but Tampa Bay, I think, is the most balanced team.
I think without question, Tampa Bay is the most balanced team.
And they keep adding parts. Antonio Brown, for those who missed it, because this happened late on Friday, I believe, Antonio Brown will join them week 9. So not this coming week, but the following week.
And they've probably got the best defense in the NFC, them or the Bears.
Now I think we've gotten to the primetime games, but that's the story. Give me let's go Sunday night.
With the Rams Dolphins we didn't hit. That's a morning game.
Oh, okay. Well, let's talk about that. Rams Dolphins. Rams haven't played. They play Chicago tonight. Rams 6-point favorites tonight. Current line. Any lean on that, Jason?
I like the Bears plus 6.
You like the Bears plus 6? Do you really? What's your reasoning?
Jared Goff has just not looked great. Maybe it's a bounce back game for them, but the Rams have not beat anybody impressively except the NFC East. We'll see.
Yeah. Six points, I think.
I
have nothing on that game. 7 people with the Rams in Survivor. Rams at the Dolphins. Dolphins will have the debut of Tua Tagovailoa next week, hosting the Rams again, like with the Bears, sight unseen on the Rams right now. What's the line on that, though? Are there any up?
I'll get back to you one second.
I'm seeing 3.5 consensus on the Rams. Again, the Rams having...
Yeah, I saw that number earlier.
Yeah, 3.5 on the Rams. But again, the teams haven't... Rams have not played, nor has the Bears, who are 2.5-point dogs consensus. 3, 2.5, 3 reduced juice at home against New Orleans. Talk about Chicago next week as well. So far for me, before we get to the primetime games... So far, Denver and Pittsburgh. Those are the ones I like the best.
Pittsburgh is, just screaming.
Let's do Sunday night before the break.
All right, Sunday night, Cowboys at Eagles. No line yet.
Cowboys at Eagles. Cowboys get destroyed. Talk about the games that aren't Plinko. Get destroyed by the Washington football teamers yesterday, 25-3. And the NFC East looks like this. Eagles 2-4-1. Cowboys and football teamers, 2-5. Gigantes 1-6. But Washington puts them on, puts it to Dallas. Kyle Allen, 15 of 25 for 194, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked twice. Antonio Gibson out of Memphis, NFL's leading rusher yesterday. This week, 20 for 128 and a touchdown. Terry McLaurin always filling up stat sheets, 7 for 90 and a touchdown. Washington, 9 of 15 on third downs yesterday. 9 of 15. Andy Dalton, 9 of 19 for 75. No touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked three times before getting hurt. Vicious hit, maybe dirty hit from John Bostic, who got tossed from the game immediately on Dalton. Ben DiNucci had to come in. 2 for 3 for 39. No touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked three times. Dallas was 3 of 12 on third downs yesterday against Washington. They were outgained by Washington, 397 to 142.
They have yet to cover a spread also.
0-7 ATS, the Dallas Cowboys. They had 59 total passing yards when you factor in sacks. 59. They were outpossessed by Washington, 36 minutes, 24 to 23, 36. Total beatdown. That's a preview of a Thanksgiving Day game as well.
I think that's your best option at the moment is Washington.
I don't know about that. I'd like to think that, but I don't know. Who they're playing? They're at Philly, right?
I think they play Dallas.
No, Dallas at Philly next week, Sunday night.
Oh, yeah.
This is what we're talking about. And Philadelphia, extra rest. Remember, they escaped, didn't cover against the Giants. Wentz was 25 of 43 for 359, two touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked three times, but they were plus two in turnovers against the Giants. They're ahead in the NFC East. What's the line? Philadelphia by 3.5?
Man, hold on. It's Philadelphia.
I'm seeing it all over the place.
I just don't see them listed here.
I see 3.5. I see 7.5.
I see -3 and -3.5. Oh, we got to go.
I'm not playing that game either way. Coming back on a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll get Jason aboard.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Numbers Game proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. And oh, by the way, listen up, fellas, because today we have a new Manscaped product alert as well. Manscaped just released the Weed Whacker Nose and Ear Hair Trimmer. Take a look in the mirror. I guarantee you'll see hair sticking out of all kinds of places. It's time to keep your ear and nose hair, that is, looking as nice as the rest of your clean-shaven body. The nose and ear hair trimmer provide proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. Waterproof, makes for easy operation and cleaning. The only nose hair trimmer with rechargeable lithium-ion battery that lasts for up to 90 minutes. Manscaped is making whacking your weeds a time to look forward to grooming with maximum confidence. 79% of partners polled admitted that long nose hair is a major turnoff. Not 80%, not 78%, 79%. Thank you, Manscaped, for keeping our bodies trimmed and hairs and our holes looking nice. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code VSiN at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code VSiN20. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds. Saying the word holes during that was a little creepy, but that's what it says right here, so I read it. I Ron Burgundy'd my way right through it.
Very professional.
Oh, you're very welcome. Skill Alexander, everybody. That's Jason Kahn. So the lines, just to clarify, the lines on Dallas-Philadelphia are all over the place. And that's because, you know, latest reports are that the Cowboys are preparing, this is the language being used, preparing to start seventh-round rookie Ben DiNucci next week against Philly on Sunday night. But what a terrible football game for Sunday night, Dallas at Philly. The division-leading Eagles at 2-4-1, half game back, the Cowboys at 2-5. Cowboys, has a team looked worse in a six-game span than the Cowboys did against the Cardinals on Monday night and then against Washington yesterday?
It's tough to decide who's worse between the Cowboys and the Jets. They're both really bad.
Man.
Bad organizations, it feels like.
Here's a question. For Survivor next week, would you take a flyer on the Eagles?
I would jump on the Eagles. I think that, well, I would at least consider them if I haven't, you know, if it made sense. Like, I think betting, fading the Cowboys has been money all year.
I think I'd consider it for 5 minutes and then not do it.
Oh, yeah. All right.
But it's a thought, right? Because people are going to go different directions, Kansas City being the obvious
one. I sure don't see the Cowboys winning that game.
Monday night, let's wrap it up because we got Jason Weingarten coming up.
The Giants and the Buccaneers are favored by...
Where is the game, Jason?
The game is in New York.
Okay.
Tampa Bay is on the road.
Yeah.
And they are a, looks like a consensus, 10.5. BetMGM has them at 10.
10. That's probably right. 10. Tampa Bay yesterday against the Raiders. Brady, 33 of 45 for 369. 4 touchdowns, no picks. He wasn't sacked. Tom Brady. They're going to get Antonio Brown. Not this coming week against the Giants, but the following week. Scotty Miller yesterday, 6 for 109 and a touchdown. Chris Godwin, 9 for 88 and a touchdown. Gronk, 5 for 62 and a touchdown. 454 total yards for the Bucs, who were a great in-game play when they were down 7-0 yesterday. And then there's the Giants, again, extra rest. They somehow lose to the Eagles on Thursday Night Football this past week. Daniel Jones, 20 of 30 for 187, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked 3 times. 4 carries for 92 yards. Should have been for 100, but the turf monster got him. They still managed to score that drive, so it didn't end up hurting him. But Tampa Bay minus 10. 10? 10 and a half, somewhere in there.
MGM is 10. 10 and a half is consensus.
Yeah, I am seeing 10 and a half consensus, yes. Would you play the Giants with 10 in the hook? I wouldn't.
No, I would not. The Buccaneers are still the best team in the NFC.
I wouldn't rush to lay the 10 and a half either, but certainly wouldn't play the 10 and a half. So in the end, I think for me, it's Denver and Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh's already moving the other way. It's moving to 5.
It's starting. Yeah, it's moving as we speak. That's a peculiar line, 5.5 in favor of Baltimore. I get it. It's extra rest. But what exactly did we see about Pittsburgh? And I get it. Pittsburgh almost, yes, Pittsburgh had a bigger lead earlier in the game. But I don't think there was anything fundamentally wrong. Pittsburgh and Tennessee, actually, I mean, look, there's no moral victories. Tennessee's not going to hold their head high after a loss. But both teams have to feel pretty good about themselves after that in the large scheme of things.
Yeah. Is there home field in Baltimore?
Well, in a year like this, is there home field anywhere?
No, but maybe there's fans. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out why the line might be there. I feel like the books are given too much for home field.
I'm seeing a lot of 4.5s now, by the way. So starting to make more sense. Starting to make more sense, but not yet. And Denver getting 3 against the Chargers. I'll take Denver. Those are the two. I think the AFC's got 4 legit, right? Pittsburgh, Tennessee, Kansas City, Baltimore. 4 legit, really, really good football teams. And I think the NFC might just have 1. Maybe it's the Bucks. All right, those are the 2 I like the most. A strange guessing lines. Not really a guessing lines, but going through the numbers today, again in the NFL, week number 8. We'll come back. Jason Weingarten, politics and baseball next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
It's a big week here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and we have some great news for everyone starting right now. You can watch every VSiN show for free on VSiN.com all week long. See how I made that dramatic? Actually, I could do it earlier. Watch Follow the Money at 7 a.m. Eastern, A Numbers Game right here at 10 a.m., The Lombardi Line, My Guys in the Desert, and our full 14 hours of live daily sports betting programs. It's all free. 24/7 on VSiN.com this week. And while you're there, check out our 10-day free subscription trial to sample everything we have to offer, including the daily best bets email and our point spread weekly betting guide. It's a perfect week to get more from VSiN, the sports betting network. Head to VSiN.com now to start watching for free. It's Gil Alexander. Jason Kahn is here as well. Jason, freezing today in Las Vegas.
Unbelievably windy.
And by freezing, I mean what, 50s?
44, 45 as I was rolling in today. But the wind is what...
That's what'll do it.
It's really windy.
It's a one-day thing, though, apparently. Apparently, it's going to get warmer starting tomorrow.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Warm is better.
Bill Ady, our COO, said he goes, it's a dry cold, he said, which is a great line. But it was startling out there today. So hopefully, it all will be good for the Circa opening tomorrow night. Looking forward to that. Congratulations again to Derek Stevens, Mike Palm, everybody associated with Circa. Can't wait for that. And it'll be open to the public midnight tomorrow night. Derek will come outside. He will welcome everybody in. I just pictured Derek coming out and everybody just like stampeding right on every side of him. So it should be fun. All right, let's talk a little politics and baseball. Let's bring him in from under a cloud of smoke somewhere in Southern California. At Spreadopedia, also contributes to Point Spread Weekly. It's Jason Weingarten. How you doing, Jason? Is Jason there?
Sure.
There you go. How you doing, Jason?
I'm good. I'm happy last week's over.
Why are you happy last week's over?
Wasn't the best betting week I've had in a while. Lost a lot of close coin flips.
I had a spectacular weekend. Missed nada except for that Dodgers mayhem game 4, which caused me to lose sleep afterwards. That's how much that one stung.
Yeah, it wasn't very fun. I was hoping they'd wrap it up in 5 games, and we're going at least 6 now.
We're going at least 6. Tomorrow, game 6. If necessary, game 7 on Wednesday. Well, let's start with baseball. I was going to start with politics, but let's start with baseball. Tomorrow night is the Dodgers mishmash pitching, and it's you know, the Rays, though, they play it with their strength, with their starters. The Dodgers are minus 135 in a game that has Gonsolin starting against Snell. Dodgers trying to close it out and be crowned World Series champs. Would you play the Dodgers again in game 6?
Yes, but the fact that Snell's getting an underdog price kind of makes me want to take a little bit of a closer look at the game. It's unusual to see a pitcher of that caliber listed as an underdog, and I'd really like to kind of dive into it more before I blindly bet the Dodgers again.
Yeah, nothing. My point is, nothing about this makes sense, right? Like, I think the Dodgers are the better team. I think Davey Roberts is doing some wacky things. And then in a game like this, if this was a standalone game in the middle, and not even standalone, if this was just a game any other time of year, and we saw Gonsolin as a favorite against Snell, we'd all go nuts, right? We'd all bet Snell. So I don't know. It's just, I talked to Paul Spohr about this earlier, but do you look at game 4 and were you as troubled by Baez being as long as he was in? And did you also have that sinking feeling as soon as Kenley Jansen showed up?
You know, the Baez move didn't bother me as much as Jansen. Baez has been pretty consistent for the last couple of years, and I think Dave Roberts is more or less earned the right to stick with guys when he wants to, and he knows, you know, who's ready and who's feeling good. So didn't really bother me that he left Baez in. It didn't work out. What worried me is it's been pretty obvious. You know, I want to say all season with Kenley, he wasn't ready to start the season. He was playing himself into shape during the season, and you know, they'd bring him in. He just didn't look good. He couldn't pitch back-to-back days. These problems go back to at least last season. I'm thinking they've gone back probably a couple years now, but they stuck with him. They didn't pull him out of the closer role during the season. They stuck with him during the playoffs. They stuck with him a little bit too long. I wouldn't have had him in there. I wouldn't have had him in on back-to-back days. I've seen him be unreliable against good teams and good lineups. So I don't know exactly what they were expecting. I think maybe Brett Phillips just got the best of him, and that's what happens sometimes. But you know, I was a little disappointed in the management of Kenley. I think if the Dodgers don't win the series, it might come back and cost Dave Roberts' job.
Well, that's
the game 4.
Yeah, that's the thing. And Paul Spohr says the same thing, and that's why it's sort of like I'm questioning all these Davey Roberts things. Everybody's like, no. Yeah, but it'll cost him his job if it doesn't work out. So it's like I think what I'm saying is then kind of accurate. You didn't have a problem with him taking out Kershaw when he did yesterday?
No, I mean, he's been in that situation before, and you know, I think everybody's thinking was essentially that pulling him around 80 pitches means that he'll have, you know, a little bit left in the tank in an emergency for game 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Not that anybody necessarily wants to see Kershaw come in, but it's also an opportunity to preserve his Bumgarner moment, if you want to call it that.
How dare you invoke the great Madison Bumgarner of the great San Francisco Giants. I'm kidding. I don't have a problem with the Kershaw thing. Did you have a problem with when he took Dustin May out? Because it ended up being Gonzalez pitching to a Rosarena with two guys on and only a 2-run lead.
Yeah, I don't actually know a ton about Victor Gonzalez. I've watched him pitch a couple times. I know his history, where he came from and everything, but I'm actually kind of surprised he's been on the roster all year. And I don't know. I think turning over the biggest outs in the game to the back of the Dodgers bullpen is typically a scary proposition. And I would have kept May in to finish the game personally. I think he could have gone three innings, but again, Dave Roberts knows his pitchers. He has a whole analytics staff. I'm sure they have meetings every day before the game and discuss what to do and what situation. So, you know, I mean, he knows what he's doing.
I'd love to be privy to those meetings. Those must be fascinating, because I bet you there's a whole bunch of conflict. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe they're all on the same page. So no play then for now on game six.
Not yet. Okay. Probably Dodgers. I bet Dodgers every game so far.
Yeah, me too. So have I. And the series every which way. We'll come back a little more with Jason. I want to get his thoughts on state by state coming back. Politics, numbers game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Every game means something more at BetMGM Sports, and new customers have a chance to win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 wager on the Bears-Rams game tonight. And if either team scores a touchdown, you win. Just sign up and make your first bet with bonus code VSIN100 to take advantage of the special offer. If you're ready for showtime, then you're ready for BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Download the BetMGM app today. Use promo code VSIN100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on the Bears-Rams game. And if either team scores a touchdown, you win. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia only. As always, please gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER, New Jersey and West Virginia. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in the state of Nevada. I love it when you guys restart the music. That's when I know perhaps it's going a little too long. Again, breaking news this morning, Odell Beckham Jr., torn ACL, hurt himself trying to make a tackle in the Bengals-Browns game yesterday. He was the first one to report it. He's like, I'm out. I'm done. And from a football perspective, you know, I get it. This is not exactly, you know, the nicest thing to say right after an injury like that. But at the risk of sounding callous, I do think Baker Mayfield is better without him on the field. Because I think Baker Mayfield has this tacit pressure to feed everybody out there and feels that way with Odell. And yesterday was a great example of Baker Mayfield just letting the game come to him. And he was great. And he might have been a game or two away. They lose that game yesterday. I don't know if his job is that secure.
It was definitely time for him to step up.
Yeah, pretty darn secure right now. Jason Weingarten is here with us at Spreadopedia on Twitter. Also a writer for Point Spread Weekly. Before we get off baseball, first of all, two things. One, if Corey Seager wins the World Series MVP as well, Jason, how bad of a beat are all of us who had Corey Seager to win MVP NL tickets for the regular season? Just mistimed it. And then the second thing, Jason, you wanted to ask him.
Jason, I'm curious as to the status of your Randy Arozarena cards. Have they appreciated much in the 2 or 3 weeks since you purchased them?
Yeah, I'll start with the second question first. The Randy Arozarena cards I was paying like $80-$90 for the cards a couple weeks ago. They're now selling for about $400, $500.
Jeez, about amazing. And you're happy to flip them, right, at that price?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like looking at them, but there's not, you know, there's not much I'm going to do with them. And, you know, I'll sell them for $500. It's, yeah.
All right.
Especially after a bad week.
Anybody hit up Jason at Spreadopedia. And Corey Seager, who do you think is the MVP right now if the Dodgers win it?
Corey Seager, he's the favorite, or he was the favorite. Oh. Yes, as of yesterday. I haven't seen updated lines today. I might actually, if I find like Corey Seager like 2-1 or 3-1, I might bet some MVP just to get some of the FOMO back.
Between Bellinger home run prop last year and the Seager MVP NL, what a brutal Kinyella bets that was. Both could have gotten there. Both probably will not.
Seager and Kershaw are co-favorites at 3-1.
Oh, Kershaw is
there. Goes my Ferrari.
There goes your Ferrari, just on the cusp of a Ferrari. All right. Before we get out of here, Jason, let me ask you: we're 8 days before the presidential election between the incumbent Donald J. Trump and the Democratic nominee Joe Biden. Is there a state? And by the way, state by state props are out there. Is there a state where one side is the dog, whether Democrat or Republican, where you're not convinced that they ought to be, meaning that you think there's a possible flip situation that no one is anticipating?
Well, what I think is interesting, we're 8 days away from the election, and from what I've seen and heard the last day or so, Biden is choosing not to campaign, you know, in person between now and election day.
Yeah.
Which kind of worries me. I mean, it's kind of like going prevent defense, you know, in the fourth quarter. What are you doing? You're just not going to campaign. You're not going to go to Wisconsin. You're not going to go to Pennsylvania. I mean, isn't that how Hillary Clinton, or one of the reasons how Hillary Clinton lost in 2016. So I'm a little interested. I've been interested in Pennsylvania to the Republicans, because if Trump doesn't win Pennsylvania, it might be a very early night next Tuesday.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, your characterization of prevent defense, I'm sure they would come back, right? And they'd say, well, it's not prevent defense. We're just running the ball into the line and milking the clock, right?
It's prevent COVID defense.
It depends how you look at it.
It's a lot easier to run out the clock when you have a 14-point lead as opposed to a 2-point lead. And remember, I mean, even with the odds, of Biden's about 170, 180, minus 180 favorites lose every day.
They do.
In sports.
They do.
That's not a huge lead. It's not a huge lead. I would not be not campaigning with a week to go, especially in some of the battleground states, specifically Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. I wouldn't be surprised to see any of those flip Republican, and seeing a lot of pundits on election night confused as to what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But there's got to have people on the ground there. Obviously there are, you know, campaign people there, but you know, Biden not going to Pennsylvania a week before the election, I really don't know what he's thinking. I don't like the strategy of not campaigning.
Yeah, he was campaigning from the great swing state of Delaware the other day, which I thought was rather amusing. Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. That is the block. Those are the three states where if Biden wins those three states, there really does not seem to be a path for Donald Trump. But just to sort of echo what you're saying, Democrats in Pennsylvania -224 in terms of the electoral vote. Democrats in Michigan -267. Democrats in Wisconsin right now -260. 8 days, eight days away from the election. And the question becomes, of those three, you're highlighting Pennsylvania. I will tell you that one of those three that I think is the most up for grabs is actually Wisconsin. Because I think Wisconsin is a very strange state demographically. And I would not think that the Democrats to me are not -260 there. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I agree with that. I actually bet Wisconsin a couple months ago. It was mostly a Borden bet, but I've had that thought that the Republicans could flip Wisconsin. But it's a very interesting, the election itself is pretty interesting right now, because like I said, it might be over relatively early in the evening. If you get some bad results on the East Coast, it's hard to see the path to victory. But at the same time, I just want to point out, anecdotally, in 2016, I just didn't see a lot of organic Hillary Clinton support, even on the West Coast out here in Southern California. And I'm sort of feeling and seeing the same thing right now, where I know lots of liberals, but I don't know a lot of Joe Biden voters. I know a lot of begrudging Democrat voters, but I don't see a lot of enthusiasm. And a lot of the campaign stuff I see, the clips on Twitter, this and that, there's very low crowds, real low turnout for a lot of the Joe Biden stuff right now. And that might possibly be due to COVID and people not wanting to be out in crowds. But I just don't see the organic support that the media wants me to see. So that does worry me a lot, especially if I'm laying, you know, a big price on Biden here. If you took Biden 6 months ago, you know, you have a good bet. But if you're laying Biden because you think there's no chance Trump's going to win, you know, I'm not sure that's a good betting strategy right now.
Yeah,
way to owe your bookie money next week.
Yeah, I have a plus 117, and I'm happy with that. What have you bet so far?
Not much. I have some Trump. You know, I've added to him. I started betting the re-election, honestly, like 2 years ago. I want to say like mid 2018. I started getting plus 140, plus 150, plus 160 on Republicans to beat, you know, Republicans to win 2020 specifically. You know, you got to look for the wording if it says to win the Electoral College, to win,
right,
you know, the presidency, whatever. It's always important to look at the wording. But I started betting Trump like 2 years ago. I've added a little bit. You know, I'm talking low thousands, nothing, you know, no crazy huge bets on this. I'm just kind of waiting. I don't really feel super compelled to lay a big bet on Trump right now, but I do think the Trump side right now at plus money is the right side, and that it's probably going to go closer to minus 110 each way by election day is my guess.
I think there's a few states that are not as clear as the market is making them out to be. And I really, right here in the state of Nevada, where we are here at VSiN, I don't think that's as, it shouldn't be minus 350 on the Democrats. Not saying they're not going to win, but I don't think it should be that big of a favorite either, for lots of demographic reasons, which I'll save for a more in-depth look at this. On the flip side, and we only have 30 seconds left, but on the flip side, one wonders about Republican strongholds like Texas and Georgia, which most people think are fait accompli for Republicans. But if you look at the demographics, maybe 4 years from now, maybe 8 years from now, they flip. The question is, would they this time around? I don't think Georgia will, but might Texas be a surprise? There's a few states that I just don't think either party should be as big favorites as they are in. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I would definitely lay the Republican price in Georgia. I'd be shocked if there's an upset in Georgia.
Not Georgia.
Night's over.
Texas.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just saying I'd lay Republicans in Georgia.
Yeah.
Texas, same thing. It's a big upset. Election's over if he loses Texas. It's possible. It's totally possible. I'm not going to hang my hat on it, but it's definitely a possibility.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like with the Democrats in Nevada and Wisconsin, I just think there's other states for the Republicans that should not be as big favorites as they are currently in the general market. Thank you, Jason. Enjoy baseball tomorrow night. Let's see if the Dodgers can finally do this.
Yep. Let's get one more win and wrap up this season.
Best to Chrissy Andrews. Everybody send him well wishes at Andrews Sports on Twitter. Good luck from all of us at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.